The Buccaneers are playoff bound, and we talk about their potential opponents and should the Bucs play or bench their starters this coming week in Atlanta. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. And we thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, deputy editor of SB Nation's BucsNation.com, rejoined by my esteemed co-host, Mr. David Harrison, who covers the Buccaneers for Sports Illustrated's BucsGameDay.com. Of course, you can follow everything on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at JRCO underscore Bucs, and at DHarrison82.
And this episode of Locked On Bucs brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. First time users, you get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. All one word, all caps. PrizePicks.com, promo code Locked On. Thanks again for making us first listen or your first view every single day on this Victory Tuesday, Playoff Tuesday, James. And we had a conversation a little while back whether or not Bucs fans should even want this team to make the playoffs, or whether or not the Bucs should really want to make the playoffs. A lot of people think that they'll be one and done. A lot of people think they don't necessarily deserve a playoff spot and that they're backing in thanks to the NFC slouch. And here's what I would say. I would say that all those things are fair ways to look at it, but I'll kind of reiterate a little bit of what I reiterate or what I said in that episode. When you look at this, this is the second time in franchise history the Buccaneers will make back-to-back-to-back playoff appearances. Only the second time. That's not a lot in this franchise's history. And you remember, Bucs fans, who did not come here with Tom Brady, even though we love all of you who did come with Tom Brady, 2007 was the last time you saw playoff football until 2020. If you were born in 2005 or later, that means you don't remember playoff football until Tom Brady arrived. So what I would say is this: enjoy it while you got it, because there are some franchises out there, I'm covering one of them as well in Washington, that have a much bigger playoff history and a lot more postseason success from a holistic standpoint, right? More Lombardis. And their fans loved seeing their team stumble into the playoffs, winning the NFC least. And I don't say loved, you know what I mean? But look, you remember that team because the Buccaneers played that team and Taylor Heinicke gave them a shot and you know what I mean? Push the Bucs to a little bit of a boundary there. So this team, we've been saying it all year, is much more talented than a lot of teams they've lost to and some of the teams they've struggled to beat. We understand that. I think we saw a little bit of a different mojo against Carolina Panthers. Not completely, but I'm going to get to a little bit of what I mean. And if that continues, and remember, James, we all said if Ryan Jensen comes back, everything changes. Mm-hmm. I think you should be excited. I'm not saying they're not going to be one and done. We'll see who they face. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But I think Bucs fans need to be excited anyway. If for anything else, just because you understand, you may eventually come to a point where you're talking, I don't know, 13 years before you see another playoff team.
Yeah, we don't know the state of the Buccaneers once Tom Brady retires or moves on to a different franchise. Those are discussions for the offseason. But yeah, I mean, you're talking about this could be a team that is in another decade plus stretch of not making the playoffs. You want those opportunities. You want to be one of the teams that is still playing when the regular season is over. You know, Bucs fans talk forever about, man, I wonder what it's like to play January football. And even back when it was a 16-game season, the Bucs played against the Carolina Panthers on New Year's Day in the final week of the season. And even fans were joking then, like, oh, so this is what it's like to play in January, you know, ha, ha, ha. But you don't know how many of these opportunities you're going to get. You don't know how long it'll be until the next one. And yeah, David, you grab that number right out of my pick six. You know, this is the first time they've been to the playoffs in 3 consecutive years since they made it every year from 99 to 2002.
Yeah.
I think Sean Murphy Bunting said it perfectly after the game. Everybody's 0-0. The playoffs start. Everyone is 0-0. It's a fresh slate. Nothing else matters except for the one game. And you don't get to play that one game unless you punch your ticket to the dance. And just like March Madness, I was talking to my family about it last week. There are teams that have better records than, you know, other colleges that make it into the March Madness tournament, and they got in because they won their conference. So don't apologize for winning your division. All you have to do is finish ahead of the other three teams. Doesn't matter how good or bad those three teams are. Win your division. That's all that matters. That means that you earned the opportunity to play in the playoffs because you beat the other teams that you were supposed to beat.
Absolutely. Never apologize for reaching for the brass ring. I mean, we're a made field goal away from two non-conference champions playing for the national championship. And what a beautiful piece of misery that would have been. I really wanted to see that chaos ensue. Anyway, shout out Ohio State. It's okay. You'll be all right. Games that the Buccaneers should win.
I have to ask now. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I have to ask. Did you see the video where the Ohio State kick that was way, way wide left?
Yeah, it was bad.
It hit the ground simultaneously with the ball drop in New York. So that ball hit the turf on the miss at the strike of midnight. And it might be the most beautifully poetic thing I've ever seen in my life.
So does the tie go to 2022 or 2023?
I believe it's
technically
both.
That would be last year, though.
That is how 2022 ended and began.
It's a half a miss for each year. Judging by the reaction of the long snapper, I don't think it was the kicker's fault, but I don't know. That's a process that I'm not familiar with, so I can't speak on that. I'll ask Joey Slide next time I see him.
We'll just have Pat McAfee on the show to break it down.
That would be amazing. Absolutely. I would do that in a heartbeat.
But back to
potential
the other
first round opponents. Yeah. Back to Buccaneers football. Potential first round opponents. There are two potential options here. And here's the crazy thing about the NFC. Each of these teams could be the number one seed. Each of these teams could be the number five seed traveling in Tampa for a wild card round game. And those two teams are the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are facing the Giants this weekend, who have nothing to play for because they have locked in the sixth seed. They cannot climb to five. They will not drop to seven. They literally have nothing to play for other than, I guess, that they just really don't want the Eagles to be NFC East champions. I don't know. The Dallas Cowboys are playing the Washington Commanders. So I will see them play this weekend, give y'all a nice little scouting report if it's needed. And they're playing the Washington Commanders, who also have nothing to play for because they're eliminated from the playoffs. The best they could do is finish eighth place in the NFC, and that requires a Lions and Packers tie and a Seahawks loss. So that's a lot of probably not going to happen. My prediction, James, is that the Buccaneers are going to see the Cowboys. The Eagles are going to beat the Giants. They're going to win the NFC East. The Dallas Cowboys are probably going to beat the Washington Commanders, but they're still going to be the five seed. So they're going to travel to Tampa for the wild card round. And I will also say that that is the team that I want to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers face anyway. Although, honestly, I actually feel good about the Buccaneers' chances against either team, mainly because the Eagles' strength is their offense, specifically Jalen Hurts, not their defense. So it's strength on strength. Home team strength usually beats out road team strength, right? I wouldn't say it's a guarantee. I wouldn't feel as confident as I did in last year's wild card round, right? But I would feel confident that this team could beat either team. I think the Buccaneers will beat the Cowboys.
I'm less confident in their ability to beat the Eagles than you are. I think if there's, you know, the defense has played well throughout the year. The Eagles have Ndamukong Suh, which players change teams all the time. But I do feel that somebody that was as vital and important as Ndamukong Suh was to the Todd Bowles offense could certainly help the Eagles offense try to figure some things out ahead of that game. But I think where the Buccaneers struggle the most is against the mobile quarterbacks. And Jalen Hurts would scare the heebie-jeebies out of me if the Bucs had to try to figure out a way to contain him. It didn't work with Mahomes. It didn't work with Lamar Jackson. I don't know why it would work with Jalen Hurts. Now, I do feel that the Bucs are going to face the Cowboys. I do feel that that is the better matchup for the Buccaneers. We saw it in week one. Now, of course, that doesn't automatically mean that the Bucs would win another game against them, but the defense matches up really, really well against the Dallas offense. Carlton Davis, I would assume he is back for the playoffs. He did a phenomenal job against Ja'Marr Chase. He did a phenomenal job against DeAndre Hopkins. There's absolutely no reason he can't do a phenomenal job against CeeDee Lamb. He flat out absolutely can. The Buccaneers, when they have Akeem Hicks and Vita Vea, are really good at stopping the run. They shut down Zeke and Tony Pollard in that first game. They did it last year in week one of the NFL season. No reason that they can't do it again. The defense scares me. The defense scares me a lot.
They have gotten a lot better.
But Ryan Jensen coming back helps that pass protection a little bit. A little bit. So
if Red comes back, it's over. We'll see you in Glendale.
Bingo. Absolutely. So, yeah, I do think that the preferred matchup and the matchup that will happen are one and the same with the Dallas Cowboys on wildcard weekend.
Yeah. Plus, I have a source, former Buccaneers player, who recently said Dak is trash. But Prize Picks is not trash.
No,
it's Prize Picks is awesome. And today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Pick 2 to 5 players. If they score more or less than the Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people, just you versus the Prize Picks projections. And if you don't like your NFL with a little bit of gambling action on it, that's fine. They've got NBA. They've got baseball when that comes back around. They've got hockey. They've got golf, which is a game I hear that happens from time to time. College football is almost over, but you can still get in on that action. Basketball, all kinds of stuff, even cricket, Euro basketball, and, of course, the WNBA. Safe and fast withdrawals, currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First time users, you get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On, all caps, all one word. If you deposit 100, Prize Picks will give you 100. If you deposit 50, Prize Picks will give you 50. Don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Continue our conversation about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers NFC South division title or champions for the second year in a row. First time in franchise history, which is why I had a hard time spitting it out. Thank you for joining us here on this for this conversation, making this first listener, first view of the day. Also, make sure you're subscribed to and checking out the Locked On NFL podcast. Get daily conversation on the biggest NFL stories, in-depth analysis on the biggest games, and key predictions every Friday when we remember to turn them in on time. And on Monday, local insiders like James Jarko of the Locked On Bucks podcast cover the weekend with game-to-game episodes. Again, when we remember to get those in on time. Sorry, Locked On Network. Time for Stash It and Trash It, James. We're going to stash some stuff. We're going to trash some stuff. I'm going to get us started. You referenced some music. You talked about getting into dances. You said you talked about Metallica. There was a Metallica lyric that I completely forgot now. Sometimes I start saying things and I hope that...
I've never once quoted a Metallica lyric in my life because I don't really.
You did, though. When you're talking about Carlton Davis, I can't remember what it says, but you said, oh, Nothing Else Matters, which is a great Metallica song.
And all right.
Yeah. So there it is. Metallica. So I'm going to quote another popular song. And here is the quote. Shots, 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 shots. That's what I'm stashing. Shots. The Buccaneers took shots against the Carolina Panthers, and not all of them were dropped. Yikes. Or fumbled, for that matter. Shout out to our guys. We love them. But look, Greg Olsen kind of pointed out during the broadcast, right? The Buccaneers need to be taking at least 2 shots a quarter. And I was like, man, that is really sound analysis and advice. And it sounds very familiar to what I've been saying all stinking year. James Jarko, 4 quarters. Do you know how many quarters the Buccaneers took at least 2 shots in each quarter?
For the whole season?
This game.
Not the whole season. This game.
This game.
Oh, that's a lot of math that you're asking me to do. You're just looking for an average or a total?
Total. They took X 10. Amount of shots per quarter. They took 2 shots per 10 shots. I don't think I formed that question correctly.
No,
they took 2 shots in the first quarter, 2 shots in the second quarter, 2 shots in the fourth quarter. It didn't always work. There were some drops. There was a fumble. But you know what? I like the aggressiveness. I like seeing them push the ball. I hope it wasn't just because it was that game and it's like a playoff atmosphere. But you know what? Even if it was because of the playoff atmosphere, we're about to see them in a playoff atmosphere. So if that's what it took, I'm all for it. Take shots, take consistent shots, 2 per quarter. They did it in 3 of the 4 on Sunday against the Panthers. I will take that. Give me two more next week. Give me two more in the wild card round. I need to see 8 deep shots per game from this offense.
Yeah, I'm all about it, especially when the ball's going to Mike Evans, because that was a lot of fun to watch.
And Chris Godwin, he doesn't fumble often.
No, he doesn't. And Brady went right back to him. First passing right, play absolutely. After the fumble went right back to him. 9 catches, 9 targets, season high 120 yards. Yeah. Closing in, he needs, what was it? He needs 9 receptions against the Atlanta Falcons to have the most receptions in a single season in franchise history. He is trailing Keyshawn Johnson right now.
Which he may get because one of us is happy about Todd Bowles' decision.
We will talk about that in a moment. My stash it is going to be David's favorite player, Anthony Nelson.
I have nothing against Anthony. This is not like Bailey, who doesn't know who Scotty Miller is.
Shout out Bailey Adams, Peter Report. Over the last couple of weeks, Anthony Nelson has looked fantastic. Like, he's got 19 tackles in the last 4 weeks. In the last 3 games, he has racked up at least 1 quarterback hit. In the last 2 games, he's got a sack in each. And of course, against the Carolina Panthers, he had the key forced fumble. On Monday's episode, or the live, for those of you who join me on YouTube on Sunday, I talked about, you know, my issues with Joe Tryon Soyinka. I put the stock down on him because he's getting pressure, but he's not finishing. He doesn't have a finish, and quarterbacks are still able to get rid of the ball while he has them wrapped up to avoid the sack. That has not been the issue with Anthony Nelson. He is getting after the quarterback. He is changing plays. He is bringing them down, and he is forcing turnovers. Keep doing your thing, Anthony Nelson. And it's only going to get better when Carl Nassib comes back, because that means you're going to have a little bit fresher of an Anthony Nelson bouncing in and out. I love the usage. I love the motor. Everything about Anthony Nelson's game right now, keep it going.
Yeah, you know, in my defense on the whole Anthony Nelson thing, I'm just not used to seeing more than one Hawkeye with actual NFL caliber talent on the same roster.
Shots fired.
That's a Big Ten shot.
But unlike our Big Ten teams, Iowa actually won their bowl game.
Yeah, and Iowa actually upset Ohio State last year. So that's fine. Moving on to trash it. I'm going to trash Byron Leftwich's offense. Listen, all season long, we've been talking about this offense and the run first and the lack of play action, the lack of tempo, lack of shots, right? Airing it out. Todd Bowles, after the game, said, "No risk it, no biscuit." I was highly offended that Todd Bowles would say no risk it, no biscuit, because Todd has not been risking much, and there haven't been a whole lot of biscuits this year. I hesitate to rain on anybody's parade, but that was kind of an ironic state. And I think he's aware of it, which is why he said it that way. But against Carolina Panthers, just go back through the game flow. Again, you see the shots. You see more play action, I think. And I think we saw a little bit of a turn, James. And I don't know the inner dynamic of why it happened. I don't know. You know, again, the result. Listen, I was talking to you before we started recording. While I was sitting in FedEx covering the Commanders live in person, I was keeping a track on NFL GSIS on the game track. And I think, like a lot of people, when I saw 21-10 in the third quarter, I was like, this is done. This is over. Obviously, you know, it's never actually over when Tom Brady is there. And I hope a lot of you stayed in the stadium because you learned your lesson from the Rams and the Saints games. But, you know, going back through the game and seeing kind of how this whole thing happened. And again, a lot of people are applauding the play action. A lot of people are applauding the shots. And that's not something we've seen being accentuated previously in the season. And I think that's a turn back towards a more Tom Brady-centric offense versus a Byron Leftwich-centric offense. And a sign that, I don't know if it's Todd directing his offensive coordinator to take more of what his quarterback is saying, or if it's Byron making the decision himself. But we know that Todd is more of a coach's coach than BA is as a player's coach. And I think we're starting to see maybe a little bit of tinkering, maybe a little bit of adjustment to say, you know what, maybe this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, there's certainly still some decisions being made that I don't fully understand or fully agree
Absolutely.
With. I mean, you talk about the play action game. Tom Brady is the most efficient play action quarterback in the NFL this season, but he has thrown the 30th most passes out of play action this season. So he's at the bottom of the league and actually using it, but at the top of the league when it gets used. So why are we not incorporating this more? My trash it, I don't want to trash the player. I want to trash the person that keeps utilizing the player in situations that the player should not be utilized in. So I'm trashing situational awareness by Todd Bowles. When your kicker has a pregame long of 52 yards and you trot him out on the field to kick a 53 yarder, you're already behind the eight ball. You continue to trot your kicker out for 50 plus yard field goal attempts when he is now 2-for-7 on the season. And I know we have sung the praises of Ryan Succop quite a bit this year because, quite frankly, he's done really, really well when you put him in situations that we know he can succeed. And that is from 49 yards and in. Stop kicking 50-yard field goals. And here's the thing. Let's say it's 4th and 2. Let's say it's 4th and 7. And you're in a situation where Ryan Succop would be kicking a 51, 52, 53-yarder. Go for it. Because if you go for it and you don't get it, worst case scenario, you gain 0 yards. You are still giving them a worse starting field position than you would give them on a missed field goal, because the ball gets placed at the spot where it's kicked from, not the line of scrimmage. Stop setting Ryan Succop up to fail and just go for it if the field goal is going to be between 50 and 55 yards. Anything more than that, use Jake Camarda to punt the ball. Please and thank you, Todd Bowles.
I think from the opponent's 45 to, I would even go up to the 30. 35, you're probably doable, but I would go to the 30. From the opponent 45 to 30, that's 4-down territory.
Yes.
If you're at the opponent 30, take the field goal. But 45 to 30, that's 4-down territory. Go for it. You have the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
Run play action, run no huddle, call 4 plays in the huddle, and just go for it. And that's what I would do. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to talk more about some Todd Bowles decision-making coming up in just a moment. Yeah, but first, BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting information, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for professional and amateur leagues out there. From pro football to college bowl season to basketball and the World Cup, they've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts just like this one, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting information. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet online, where the game starts. Wrapping things up here on the Locked On Bucks podcast. And look, David, Todd Bowles said some things. He says a lot of things, but we're going to focus on one thing he said in particular. And that is the plan as of now is that starters are going to play on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. So it's a real, real simple question. Is this a good idea or should the starters get benched?
The starters should absolutely not play in week 18 against the Atlanta Falcons. Todd Bowles said, quotes, "We can get better at a lot of things. So right now I'm planning on playing them being the starters. We'll see as the week goes forward, but we can get better at a lot of things that we need to work on and we don't need to take our foot off the gas," end quote. There's a lot of accuracy in what Todd Bowles said. Specifically, they can get better at a lot of things. Also, that they don't need to take their foot off the gas. Understand this. Resting your starters is not taking your foot off the gas. Resting your starters is preserving gas to make sure that you get to the end of the race. Like, when a race car driver comes in for a pit stop to refuel, they're not taking their foot off the gas as far as the race is concerned. They're managing their resources to make sure that when it comes time to make the final push, they're fully equipped to do so. It's week 18. Anything that you need to work on to get better on, James, ain't going to happen in 3 more practices. I'm sorry. I used to take soldiers to boards, right? And for those who don't know, basically you get all gussied up in your dress uniform. You sit in a chair all by your damn self. I think you can say that on the show. and there's a panel of like five senior military officials sitting in front of you, and they just grill you with questions, right? And I used to see soldiers all the time right outside the door, and they're studying. They got like manuals, or they're reciting creeds, and they're just studying their butts off. And I just tell them, like, hey, stop. If you don't know it right before you knock on the door, you ain't gonna know it, man. Just calm down, collect yourself, get ready for the fight. Get ready for what's coming. That's what the Buccaneers need to do. You are who you are. If there's anything this team needs to get better at, we just kind of talked about it. It's play calling. It's the scheme. It's the strategy. You don't need Tom Brady on the field for that to happen. You don't need Mike Evans on the field for that to happen. You don't need Levante David on the field for that to happen. But you know what you do need them on the field to have happen? An ACL, a hamstring, a collarbone, a bad concussion, an ankle. If they're on the field, that could happen. If they're not on the field, that can't happen. So that's the way I see it. 17 weeks in, if you're telling me that three more practices, well, that's what did it. You had 17 times three. I don't know that math. 51 practices all season. You have 51 practices in training camp. But dang it, these last three, that's where we're going to nail it, guys. No, come on, bro. All you're doing is risking injury to a key player. You battled injuries all year long. Your offensive line has been banged up all year long. And I understand there's some limitations. Todd was asked specifically about the offensive line, and he said, like, we don't have 80 guys. I got that. Some guys have to play. I understand that. But Tom doesn't have to play. Mike doesn't have to play. Chris, I mean, look, I know there's a record. You know what I mean? So maybe I lead that up to him. I got it. But like Antoine has been in and out of injury all year long. Tristan Wirfs, we've already seen what happens in this offensive line without Tristan. I mean, I'm just saying, maybe somebody out there in YouTube comments, and maybe James Jarko, you're about to say, that's coaching scared. I would say it's coaching smart and managing your resources, ensuring that you have as many of your key players as you need for the playoff push. Because how traumatic would it be for Ryan Jensen to come back to snap the ball to Blaine Gabbert?
I absolutely understand the
injury. Hang on. Wait. Here's my mic. Dropping it.
I absolutely understand being concerned about the injury risk. You do not bench the starters.
Wrong.
You don't do it in this game.
I'm leaving.
What have we as a show?
Yeah.
What have we as and I'm using the royal we, what is the Buccaneers fan base?
I don't know what that actually means, by the way. I don't know what the royal we
it means a collection. It
sounds perverse. I'm not going to lie.
It's a collection of people that doesn't necessarily include you as an individual and me as an individual.
Okay.
What has the Bucs fan base been screaming and clamoring for all year long? What has the Bucs media been screaming for and clamoring for all year long?
Giovanni Bernard to answer questions.
Something on offense. Do anything.
Yeah.
And it finally happened.
Yeah.
It's the first time they've put up 30 or more points since week four, which was, ironically enough, the last time Mike Evans scored a touchdown. Correlation is not causation, but that's a little coincidental for my taste. The Buccaneers were one game away from tying the Chicago Bears for most wins in a season when scoring 21 or fewer points.
Yeah.
You don't take that kind of performance, a rejuvenated connection, all of a sudden, Tom Brady being able to drop the ball in the bucket on the deep passes, on the explosive plays. You don't come off of that kind of performance and say, all right, everybody chill. Now, I do feel there is a solid compromise.
Mm-hmm.
You play the starters in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of score,
mm-hmm.
they're all sitting in t-shirts and hats on the sideline like it's the last preseason game. That's it. They're done for the day. We can't improve our position. We don't want to limp into the playoffs at 8-9. We don't want to limp in with a loss, but we cannot improve or ruin our position at this point. But so many times we have seen teams bench starters in the final week of the season and come out in the playoffs looking completely flat. You can go all the way back to, goodness gracious, what was the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts when they were on the cusp of an undefeated season?
Yep.
And he benches his starters to get ready for the playoffs, and they got trounced.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, before the year before he won the Super Bowl, he's like, I'm going to sit out. I'm the MVP of the league. We're 14-1. I don't need to play this week. They go out first week of the playoffs. They get trounced. You can take a look at this season. Joe Burrow in the Cincinnati Bengals, not a single starter played in the entire preseason. And they came out and got their butts handed to them by the Pittsburgh Steelers and a Dak Prescott-less Dallas Cowboys. There is more harm than good done by having those players sit out that week. So at the very least, they need to play the first half.
I get what you're saying, and I'm down with the compromise. Here's what I would say. That Bengals reference, I don't even want to hear that one, because you're talking about a team that you basically went from losing the Super Bowl to playing in the regular season. That's basically what happened to the Cincinnati Bengals. That's insanity. That's completely different. This team has been practicing and playing for 17 weeks. That's not the same thing. The playoff ones, however, I would be interested to know, and I don't know this off the top of my head, so I could be wrong, but I would be interested to know how many of those teams, though, have been doing this. And that's my thing. This is not new for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know it's new for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this season, right? But that's what we've just been talking about. The reason it's new this season is because Todd Bowles is now the head coach. Bruce Arians is more of a, Tom, what do you want to do? You want to take shots? Let's take shots. No risk, no biscuit. That's my mentality. Todd Bowles is more of a conservative, control the ball, play the short game, and listen to what the coaches have to say, because that's Todd Bowles' personality. The coaching staff is stifling this offense. That's where my trash it comes in, is that I want to see more of the old last 2 years. I call it old school, but last 2 years, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense, which is what we saw more of against Carolina Panthers. And voila, it worked. We saw more of it against Kansas City Chiefs, and it put points on the board. Problem is, that's the night the Buccaneers defense decided they were just going to take the night off. That's why they lost. So this team already knows how to play loose, free, big shot football, because they've done it twice this year. The only two times, by the way, that we can recall that they've tried to do it. Those are the only two times they've even tried to do it, other than late game scenarios. And guess what? It worked in those late game scenarios. Last year they did it. The year before they did it. This is not new to this team. This team is not learning how to put up 30 points. This team's not learning how to take these shots. This team's not learning how to be aggressive on offense. The coaching staff, hopefully, is finally starting to realize that's what's best for their team, and that gives them the best chance of winning. Again, you can realize that again and continue to realize that whether the team's playing in week 18 or not. Now, I will accept a compromise, but I want to add a little bit of a stipulation to that compromise. Up to the first half, or up to the point where the offense has more than 50% touchdown to drive ratio. So what I mean by that, one drive, one touchdown, that's 100%. You shut it down. You go down the field and you put the ball in the end zone against the Atlanta Falcons, we're done. One touchdown, two drives, that's exactly 50. You're not done yet. Two touchdown, three drives, now we're 66. Now you're done. You're picking up what I'm putting down? Or
I don't like the first half. Idea.
Whichever goes first. Whichever comes first.
I don't like the idea of one drive ends in a touchdown.
I know you don't. That's why it's called a compromise. So that's my rider. I'm coming down with you for the first half. I'm leaving the first half in there, but you're going to give me the more than 50% touchdown to drive ratio. We're over our time limit. It's done.
I'll give you the more than 50% minimum two drives. Let us know where you guys stand on
minimum
it.
Two drives or 10 plays. If that first drive is a 9-play touchdown drive, call it done.
Let us know where you guys stand on the discussion. You can leave your comments on YouTube or tweet to us. Hashtag Team James, hashtag Team David. We'll see how that all shakes out. We want to thank you for making us your first listen or view every day. And make sure you subscribe to the Locked On NFL podcast and get daily conversations on the biggest NFL stories, plus in-depth analysis on the biggest games with NFL key predictions every Friday. Locked On NFL, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, if you don't have a Twitter and you're not watching on YouTube, you can give us your take at LockedOnBucks Podcast@gmail.com. Still having trouble with the voicemails, so please send in an email and we'll be able to get to you. David is off tomorrow, but David will be here instead of Evan Klosky, and I'm talking about David Sheely of 10 Tampa Bay. He is going to step in and do WTSP Wednesday with me tomorrow. I'm going to get his thoughts on this conversation as well. But of course, check out BucksNation.com, BucksGameDay.com, and everything on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco_Bucks, and at DHarrison82. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, fire the cannons. Thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.